So this is joint work with Mingwei Jiang from Utah State University. So I apologize to those that maybe will think the problem is not in discrete geology, but whenever I chose it, I somehow thought I had no doubt that it's a problem in discrete geometry, but it's somehow algorithmic also. So it has been first studied by Cabello a few years ago. Quite easy to state, given n, let's say, unit disk in the plane, select a point in each disk such that the minimum parallelized distance among the points is maximized. Right, so basically, you like to disperse the points, but subject to the constraint that each point lies in the disk or in the satisfies its constraint that lies in its own disk. Of course, that there are more general versions, arbitrary radii. And more specialized version, disjoint. Let's say if the disks initially maybe were not disjoint, but you can impose disjoint. And first variant with the not necessary joint, it was shown to be NP-hard, so unlikely to have to exist an optimal solution to find. Now going to find an optimal solution, and one can do similar reduction to prove there's a second one for disjoint is also hard problem. So here's some example with disjoint unit disks. Yes, and the problem asks you for you to pick points in each of those regions to maximize the interpoint distance. So you can state this problem in a more general setting in subsets of a metric space. And with the same objective to maximize the minimum interpoint distance. So you can also give a nice name to it, I mean, as they did, Fiala et al. And others as systems of distance representatives, right? In general, generalizing systems of distance representatives from combinatorics that you know very well. So we'll restrict to the geometric versions that occur naturally in this kind of map labeling and wireless networking applications. Yeah, so let's look first at some situation with n-unit disks. Now, if the disks, you can observe that if the disks actually are not, far from disjoint and basically nearly or heavily overlapping, then it leads to a packing problem with congruent disks, right? Because you want to choose those points which will be centers of the disk that you want to pack, right? But basically, this is what it comes to. So it gives you some suggestion. It suggests that the problem is hard, right? Because it has to do with packing. So for not necessarily disjoint unit disks, Cabello, however, gave pretty quadratic time algorithm with this approximation ratio, so slightly below 1/2. However, if the unit disks are disjoint, he noticed that simply picking the centers gives a 1/2 approximation. I will show you immediately that that is the case. Of course, you can use the same algorithm for disk of arbitrary radio that are also disjoint, like in this picture. Yes, just choose the sentence. Yes, so very simple algorithm. Very runs very fast. Yes, so our improvements will be I listed here. You see very small improvement for arbitrary unit disks because, well, yes, we will use some part that is that was done by Carbello, and we'll have a hybrid algorithm. His algorithm with some part that we know how to do better that dealt with disjoint disk, which is this second part, and that also generalizes to both in higher dimensions where we have this improvement for 1/2 to some basically square root of 2/2, but something like that. So here are our results listed. You know, first theorem, first result. It just shows how to improve, how to beat that 1/2 ratio that Carbello obtained, and he asked it as an open question: can one improve that trivial algorithm centers the ratio of 1/2? And we show that we can do that. It's just a little bit improvement, but it's a fast algorithm. Actually, I won't talk about this. Second one, where we get a more substantial improvement. And the algorithm can be also, as I said, extended to higher dimensions. And last result, this hybrid algorithm that is for unit disks, yes, but not necessarily disjoint, by combining Carbello's algorithm with our algorithm. So let's have for some you know, agree on some notation and definitions. So the distances that we use, so including in the objective of the dispersion problem, is the Euclidean distance. Then we have this set of given disks, let's say disjoint, but of arbitrary radius, the centers OI and the radii RI. And let's just say this time, during this talk, that the distance between two disks is just the distance between their centers. So if you have two tangent disks of unit radius, then two tangent unit disks, then the radio is, then the distance is 2 between them. So let you need, you know, this way, delta ij, the distance between the centers of two disks, omega I, omega j, and take delta the minimum one. Yeah, so basically, the minimum makes some constraint on how far the points can be distributed. Right? If the disks are closed, then you can't get out of them, and it will impose some constraints. And here is how to see that the algorithm centers give a ratio of 1/2 for disjoint disks, but of arbitrary radio. Let us denote by an optimal solution, so the distance, that distance in an optimal solution. And also the solution denoted by centers. Then centers, certainly this is what it will return because it leaves the points at the center and we have the closest pair of disks, so this is what you have. And then the disjointness condition for the disk gives this relation for every pair ij, then I can upper bound opt. I will look, for instance, at the closest pair of disks, and there the points cannot be moved from the centers by more than ri and rj respectively, and you get opt at most 2 delta, then you get ratio 1/2 for the centers algorithm. So now I'm going to discuss these ideas, like the outline of this linear program algorithm, approximation algorithm for disjoint disks. So again, these are arbitrary radia and but disjoint. Well, I'm going to choose two parameters, 1/2 and 3/4. So 1/2, at least for what we did, appears to be crucial, but the other one is not. It's just some number between 1/2 and 1. We'll see how they come into play in this picture. So suppose this is our disk, one disk omega I, and then I'm going to look at two concentric disks of radius, so 1/2 RI, and the other one 3/4 of the radius. Yeah, so these two disks. And I will select some convex polygon that separates these two disks, so rising this annulus, right, between the two disks, because this is what I want. In this case, I can choose a square. Yeah, so I mean, in two dimensions, I can choose a square. In higher dimensions, I'll have to choose something else. And let's see how is this helpful. Yeah, so here is the idea of the algorithm so the program allows one to choose points in each disk, right? But suppose we are not going to use all this freedom, and we are going to choose, we are going to restrict our constraint region to some smaller disk near the, I mean, around the center. Instead of the whole disk, I'm going to restrict it, let's say, to a smaller disk of half the radius. And observe that I can still attain the 1/2 approximation that we obtained earlier by choosing the center, right? Because the center is still in the closer, in the smaller disk. Right, so it appears that I didn't lose much. At least I didn't lose the 1/2, which was the best that I knew. And then our algorithm basically will find some, will prove good approximation when I'm going to restrict the feasible region from the big disk to a smaller disk. Yes, and we'll see, I mean, you can see also in this picture that when I do this, this distance between the actual points that are chosen compared to their projection is a good ratio, like close to one, which wouldn't be the case if I would have chosen points in the larger disks where the projection could be very small. Like when the disks are tangents, the projection will basically vanish or go to zero. Yeah, so that's the reason why I do this thing. So here's this observation that when the lambda is small, of course initially we didn't know how small to take it, and then the distance between two points in the two smaller disks can be well approximated by the projection of the connecting segment to the line connecting the these centers. And to use linear programming, I did exactly this sandwich, I mean, between the smaller disk and the larger disk of radius 3/4, I put some convex polygon, and instead of maximizing projections, so I'm going to the program will maximize projections on those interpoint lines of the chosen points, which will be unknown in the linear program. Yeah, so we are going to reach the program very soon. Here is this statement. I mean, I didn't include the proof, but at least you can see the statement. So this usual, our usual setting to disjoint disks, I and J, with the centers, radius, and then pick two points, PI, PJ, and then consider this point at distance 1/2, yes, from the center. So if PI was here, QI is just in the at the midpoint of that segment, or IPI. That's actually, and then one can, then this is a claim that the projection is at least 1 over square root of 2. So this thick segment, so this projection, yes, this thick segment over the actual distance, at least 1 over square root of 2, and you can see that's also, I cannot claim a better bound, at least for this ratio, as you can see here. Okay, so let's see what I can say about the linear program. So we were looking to find unknown points, this Q1 up to Qn. To maximize this projection, so we will maximize some variable z, and such that QI is in this polygon QI. So QI was our polygon that separates. Here's this one here. It's like here, this square. So in these squares, we are looking to find points in those squares. So the squares can be defined, because it's a convex polygon, can be defined by 4 linear constraints, right? So which allows me to write this constraint here as expanded into 4 true constraints, linear constraints. And then this projection, provided I can write this projection also as a linear inequality for each pair. Yes, and how I just look to see I can do this. So suppose these are these centers and the points. Okay, so suppose these centers are ordered for simplicity. Yes, then I can explain, I can write the cosine and the sine of the line determined by the centers, right, in this way. Of course, by computing certain distances here and subtracting coordinates. And then this will be the linear constraint that I will generate. Yes, so it depends on these cosines and sines of the slopes of the various lines connecting these centers, with the corresponding unknowns, linear, with the corresponding unknowns, which are coordinates of the points that we are looking for. So this is basically the linear program. Of course, one has to analyze it, and I didn't bring up all the lemmas that I need. Just some observation, some of these steps. So as you saw, this linear program had these cosines and sines, which could be irrational numbers appearing there. But if you solve it up to some precision, then you will get arbitrarily close to that bound that was appearing in that lemma 1 over square root of 2. So we can get like 0.707. Yeah, so this is the claim that we have, or the lemma that we prove. And then some computational aspects, for instance, how to reduce, do not write all these quadratic constraints between each pair of points, to reduce the number of constraints to linear. So we recall this upper bound on optimal, which was at most 2 times the minimum pairwise distance between these centers. And then the LP solution, let's say, call it Z star. Yes, if we look only at that pair of discs, which are the closer, and then remember that we are looking for points in the convex polygon QI, which was, did not exceed the other disc of radius 3/4. Yeah, so that's why we have chosen there some other parameter, lambda prime. So we have an upper bound on the optimal solution for where ij that we get from this ij closest pair of discs, and we can show that we don't need to write constraints for a pair of discs at distance larger than 7 times delta, the minimum pairwise distance, because if I would have such a far away pair of discs, then the distance between two points, if you again look where those points could be chosen, it appears that it's bigger than the optimal solution of the LP, so there is no need to write constraints for those discs. And we'll use also easy packing argument that the number of pairs of discs at distance at most 7 times the minimum pairwise distance is between the points that this center is linear. So now for extending this to higher dimensions, any dimension D, we just try to go through the same steps. Of course, I didn't have actually all the steps there because some exactly how the ratio follows and they are not, I didn't spell out all those steps, but one has to think what changes in the algorithm will occur. So we can still take these two parameters, 1/2 and 3/4 for lambda and lambda prime, but then this QI should be some polytope that is sandwiched, that is appears in the annulus, or I'm not sure how it's called in high dimension, between these two balls of radius 1/2 and 3/4. Yes, certainly you cannot take a cube there, because the cube will actually not be in that annulus as soon as D is 5. We'll be able to prove the same statement for this key lemma, how much is the projection bounded away from the real distance. It's also bounded from below by 1 over square root of 2, as in the planar case, actually. So we have some proof that works for any number of dimensions. So here is that observation about the polytope, and then depending on how many, I don't know exactly how many, but maybe it's an exponential number, but depending on D, what I mean of facets, but depending on the number of facets of that polytope, I have to write so many inequalities to ensure that the point is in that polytope, and then proceed with the linear program. One can prove the same bound, 7 delta. Also, you don't need to write constraints for pairs of balls whose centers are farther away than 7 delta, and get the same approximation ratio in higher dimensions. Then I'm gonna just say something, not much, about the hybrid algorithm for unit disks. Now, so this time all the disks have the same radius, but they could overlap. Now, and we use kind of the same framework used by Cabello. He had a hybrid algorithm that one of them he calls placement, which deals with the, in some good way, when the disks are overlapping. So basically, it kind of solves some packing problem there. And also, so it uses placement on the given disk. Also, it uses centers, but of course, centers will be a poor solution when the disks are heavily overlapping. It's good only if they are disjoint, at least we know it has a ratio 1.5. So then you expect some trade-off to occur, which happens between these curves. You know, one is decreasing, another one, they meet somewhere, and that's where the ratio of the algorithm occurs, which was around 0.44. So we can do the same thing. We can just replace these centers either with our faster algorithm that was not much better than ratio 1.5, or with a better one based on the LP-based algorithm. Then we get something better. Of course, there are things to prove that indeed this is going to happen, that this is going to help to replace centers by this algorithm. Yes, so Remy, use some notation here. For instance, optimal, write it as 2x, and delta, which was the minimum pairwise distance between centers, is 2 mu, and as we can assume without loss of generality that delta is more than 2, because otherwise the unit disks are disjoint. Then have this inequality, is basically optics between delta and delta plus 2, and x between opt at least mu and 1 plus mu, just because the disk have unit radius. Yes, and then use, I'll just show you kind of what kind of computations occur in finding, expressing the approximation ratio that we find. Actually, we can express as a closed formula also with the square root, similar like we did actually for the LP algorithm, only with square roots, but it is more complicated. Here is the formula that was used for placement that we, that Carbello obtains, you know, that for x, yes, so opt is between 1 and 2, sorry, opt is between 2 and 4, 2x, yes, and ratio at least 1.5 if for smaller x, right? At least 1.5. Okay, so we establish our own formulas for our algorithm. Anyway, here is the algorithm that that we use. So let's say we run this placement, Carbello's algorithm, and our algorithm A2, which was the linear program algorithm. So we have somehow, what we need to do is to relate. Notice that even the disks were overlapping, the unit disks were overlapping in the input. Still, if you take the disks of very small radius mu, you remember that the minimum pairwise distance between centers was 2 mu. So if I take these disks, that could be very small, but they are pairwise disjoint. So then I could, which we do, our hybrid algorithm, we run placement on like Carbello does, and otherwise we find out this much smaller, possibly, disjoint disk and run our LP algorithm there. And we'll get a valid solution, but then to see what is the approximation ratio of that solution, we can show that it is basically given by this expression, arbitrary close to square root of 2 plus over this expression with square root. Yeah, but not a big improvement compared to Carbello, which originally his hybrid algorithm had only 0.44, so it's not such a big improvement, but we don't know how to do much better. So in order to analyze the approximation ratio, we relate the optimal solution, you know, how the optimal solution for the unit disk, for the given disk, to the optimal solution that we call op mu for the small disjoint disk of radius mu. Yes, and we show that this holds. So let's see how to show this. It's basically a very similar technique somehow, like we use in the LP algorithm. What we do is, let's say this were two disks that were overlapping, and we shrink and we take two points there where we have really given by this pair of points, PIPJ, and then we pick up points that are in ratio mu compared to OIPI. So I just shrink, I just move PI to QI such that it's a distance mu times this from the center. And then observe that we get a, if PI was in the original disk, then this QI is in the smaller disk of radius mu. Yes, which is very important. So you get a valid solution. And now you also see how much they moved away from each other in this transformation is like this. And then use the triangular inequality to get lower bound on the distance QI QJ. Right, so I get a pair of disks like this. I get a pair of points like this. Yeah, so this is a lemma that helps to make connection between the two algorithms, and then one can use those analytic formulas, some of them quite complicated, to find some closed formula for the approximation ratio. I just summarize here at the end what is at least when we did this. I'm not sure if somebody else worked on it, kind of maybe from last year result, what I'm talking today. So I don't know if any progress has occurred, but this was the situation at that time. That was the record achieved by Cabello for the algorithm placement was 3.8 for unit, not necessarily unit or disjoint. I'm not sure actually this should be unit maybe. I have to check this. Then for unit what we did is 4.674, and for disjoint what we did 0.0707. Yeah, so this is the summary, and if I just conclude with some vague questions, I think in general that problem, the dispersion problem, it's nice to see what happens in other other domains as well, instead of this like squares. We looked very briefly there, didn't look like things go so smooth as for disks, but the problem itself. It's interesting. Then this method of using projections maybe can be used for other problems. So we thought it's an interesting question. So otherwise I am ready to conclude here. That's what I have.
Thank you.
The greatest distance.
Yeah, probably the greatest, because this is what determines how they are getting to get there.
You mean maybe the smallest distance? The greatest distance somehow is irrelevant. If disks are far away, or do you think about disjoint disks or not disjoint disks? Usually disks that are far away, you know, they don't put tight constraints, right? But these that are closer put constraints. Okay, so you are saying.
Some parameters.
Yeah.
Probably you did not consider that.
No, no, but of course. Right.
If you put two or another given number, would your item still there?
I don't know. I have to think, of course.
Quite natural. You think after
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not. Yeah. Yeah, maybe not as it is, because kind of what was crucial. Yeah. When you have these joint discs or balls or. Yes. Yeah. So if I use projections like I use up to now, you know, I certainly don't, I want to avoid this situation that this projection will vanish, right? So, but now if two are here, I don't know, somehow, again, their distance I cannot express as a linear constraint, so still I should use projection. Oh, I should not consider that one. No? Oh, you don't need about that one. Oh. But then I can put coinciding points. No? Doesn't look to me that way, but I'm not sure. Yeah, possibly, I don't know. There are variants, we can think about.
Yeah, because you will get close to one circle and another point,
Well, I mean, putting more points, right, it will be more constraints, right, because I have to ensure pairwise distances between every combination of, like, you know, A1, A2, and B1, B2. Yeah, so certainly, one can have this variance. I'm somehow more curious, you know, what can say about other domains, like, you know, squares, or somehow we didn't try too much, but somehow things didn't work somehow that smooth as here. But maybe still one can find. Yeah, or other ranges. Somehow this problem I find, it's... interesting, the problem of distance representative, because it's really the geometric version of that classical combinatorial question, and maybe there are even theorems that one can write, you know, like that, what's the name of that classical theorem? Well, I mean, this would stand there, yeah, what conditions ensures that you can select distinct representatives, so maybe there is a geometric version that is quite nice for selecting points in this kind of domain. Under certain conditions, you can guarantee something. That those, whatever you choose there, they are far away, they represent well the set, like in the combinatorial setting. So, thank you.